This is Dos Pequeños,
a funnier look at the paranormal in New Mexico.
With your co-ghosts, Eric Carter-Landine
and Alex.
What's up, Alex?
What's up, E?
Nothing. We have a very special friend here in the house with us.
Where?
To your right.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
We have Jackie Moranti.
When'd you get here?
Not very long ago.
Okay, cool.
I dropped in through the ceiling.
Jackie's the most famous podcaster in Albuquerque.
That's what I hear.
So, Jackie, tell us about you and your shows and anything else you want to say.
I am Jackie Moranti, and I have two podcasts. I have Lucky Charms Unplugged, and I have Cause of Death. And if you haven't listened to Cause of Death, you should.
You need to listen to it.
It's all about how she kills people.
Yeah. And then I cover it in my show. Yeah.
It's a perfect, you know,
and then we come back together and talk about the ghost that Jackie made.
In Dos Pequeños. It's a perfect trifecta.
It's perfect.
Absolutely.
So welcome, Jackie.
Thank you.
Alex and I have absolutely no fucking idea what you're about to tell us, which is exciting and terrifying at the same time. We have been looking forward to this, but before we get into that, Alex, why don't you talk about some stuff?
Yeah. If you want to follow us on some social media shit, and you can probably do that if you need, Dos Pequeños, Facebook, Instagram, fucking
Twitter.
We got our OnlyFans and,
by the way, I have a complaint about your OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a guy's got to make a little money.
Well, the thing is that when you look at the OnlyFans, because I've been there.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at the OnlyFans, all you see is like these ghost heads.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are just all wispy stuff. So can you put G-strings or something on those guys?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Enough ghost dick?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's hanging ghost dong.
But also you can buy us a coffee, Dos Pequeños,
ko-fi.com.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, so do those things.
And if you're not going to give us money, and then we don't want to talk. No, I'm just kidding. If you're not going to give us money, then, give us a review.
Yes.
Share an episode.
That's really cool. I appreciate when people do that. When I see people share our episodes and stuff like that, or spread the word about Dos Pequeños, it makes my heart grow a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's a tiny heart.
It is. But you are helping make Alex a good person, which is good. And you're feeding his ego, which he doesn't need. But
it's Leo season, motherfucker.
Yeah. See what I mean?
See?
This is what I'm talking about.
Me.
Hey, so it's really cool to have you on the show tonight, because I didn't have to do anything but show up, and I love that. So I'm really excited to hear what you have brought today.
Oh, well, thank you.
What do I do with my hands?
Why do my hands? I'm sorry, audience. I am constantly talking with my hands. It's just a part of the Alex
persona.
It's persona.
Part of your persona.
Okay, so Jackie, welcome again.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be a guest ghost.
Yay.
Ooh. Guest ghost. Ooh. I love that. I got my co-ghost across from me, and I got my guest ghost.
Yes.
Appropriately 6 feet apart.
Yes. Masked.
Or something. Yeah.
Masked, vaxxed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ready to be waxed? Is that how it goes?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Jackie. Sorry that you, but you know what?
Welcome, you asked for this,
right?
I did ask for this. Yeah. Well, actually, I was just going to give you the story and have you read it.
Yeah.
But
So I kind of made you do this.
Well, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kinda. Did you force her into this? Are you safe? Blink twice if you need help.
Okay. So, Jackie, you told us that you had something you wanted us to cover. And of course, we never got to it because we're the worst kind of people that exist in the world. So then I said, why don't you come over here and just tell the story yourself? Because we're also lazy and don't want to write scripts anymore.
Yeah.
So we pawned all the work
on you.
That's fine. Yeah, that's okay. So I picked a really special story for this.
Okay.
Okay.
Super special. This story covers all four of our podcasts.
Okay.
We've got a murder.
Ooh.
For true consequences.
Yes.
We've got disease for cause of death.
Okay.
We've got the paranormal for dos pequeños. Mm-hmm. And we've got a man who tried to mitigate his luck.
Oh, shit.
For Lucky Charms. So I'm going to tell you how Robert Johnson became known as the King of the Delta Blues.
Ooh, okay.
Robert was born on May 8th, 1911 in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, to Julia Dodds and Noah Johnson. At the time, Julia was married to Charles Dodds, who was a successful furniture dealer. Dodds raised Robert as his own, and Robert was unaware that he was illegitimate until his mother told him before his death.
He's a bastard.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And he didn't know until his mother was dying, and she had like a deathbed declaration.
Mm, shady.
It is shady. No, the whole story is shady. I love it.
And I'm so excited that you're telling the story because did you see me fist pumping? Yeah. I love this story.
Do you know this story?
As a fan of the blues, I do love this story.
Oh, awesome. Okay, good.
So I'm excited for this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Charles was forced to leave Hazelhurst after he had a dispute with some white landowners. So he changed his name and moved to Memphis, Tennessee. And a few years later, Julia followed him with Robert and his 9 siblings.
Okay.
So for the next 8 or 9 years, Robert attended the Carnes Avenue Colored School, where he learned to read and write, and he learned to do math. And so he was educated, which is really unusual for children, black children, in the 1910s.
So I just want to say, for Jackie's sake, Jackie did not use that term unknowingly. That is actually what it was called
back then.
That's
what it was called.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
That's not her term.
That's not my term.
So don't cancel Jackie.
Yeah.
That was a quote.
That was a quote.
All right. Great. Yeah.
So his mother passed away in 1929, and she told Robert about his biological father. And once he learned that his father was Noah Johnson and not Charles Dodds, Robert took his father's surname. And while he would have change his name several times over the years, Robert Johnson was the one he would use officially.
Okay.
Okay. So Robert was 18 by then. And he got married to a woman named Virginia Travis. And he took up farming to support his family. And he would play small gigs around Memphis every so often.
What instrument did he play?
Well, we're good to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
All right.
So he was playing small gigs around Memphis in his spare time. Virginia died in childbirth shortly after they were married. And her family accused Robert of being in cahoots with the devil because he wasn't playing gospel.
Oh.
He was playing secular music.
Okay.
So after the death of his wife, Robert gave up farming and he chose the life of a traveling musician. And so he would play harmonica in front of restaurants and barbershops and bars.
Okay.
And it was around this time that he became adamant that he would learn to play guitar.
Oh.
So he went to Robinsonville, Mississippi. And that's a town on the Mississippi Delta. And at that time, it was really known for the blues.
What's it known for now?
Probably high water. He joined in with a bunch of other musicians. Or at least he kind of tried to.
Mm-hmm.
And he would play with the likes of Muddy Waters and Sonny Boy Wilkinson and Son House and Charlie Patton. And while the others would encourage him to play harmonica with them, if he ever showed up with a guitar, they would pack up in the middle of their performance and leave.
That's so rude.
Well, there's a reason for it.
Uh-oh.
Son House later said that Johnson was an impeccable harmonica player, but his guitar playing was absolutely painful.
Ooh.
It was just that bad.
It was really bad.
It's
it
like
was bad.
Me trying to play.
Was he like, hey everyone, this is Wonderwall?
Anyway, he's here's
like,
Wonderwall.
He's like, wait, no, wait. Wait, hold on, wait.
You can't even play that. It's fantastic.
And I only know 3 chords.
Which is all you need to know for modern music.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So Johnson disappeared from the scene for a few years. Mm-hmm. And it was thought that he had gone back to Hazleton to find his biological father.
Okay.
But when he returned to Robinsonville in 1932, he had suddenly learned to play guitar. And he had surpassed all of his cohorts. Okay, so I play guitar. And
you do?
She does.
Okay.
Yeah. I picked it up a couple years ago, and this was after a long hiatus. I mean, I played when I was a kid and then gave it up for a long, long time and then picked it up again a couple years ago. And I am barely getting to where my fingers communicate with the fretboard.
Okay.
After 2 years. Okay. So for Robert to go from painful to perfect in a couple years, that was a feat. That was a big feat.
Right. It takes years for people.
Oh, yeah.
Years and years.
Yeah, nonstop practice.
It's nonstop practice. Yeah.
Who has time for that shit?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody got time for that shit.
Nobody got time for that.
Oh, God. Well, as legend would have it.
Okay.
Robert Johnson made a deal with the devil so that he could become the king of the Delta Blues. This happened in October of 1930 at the crossroads of Highways 49 and 62.
So is that Hallows Eve? It's not Samhain. That's the next day.
It's Hallows Eve.
It's Hallows Eve.
Yeah, it's Hallows Eve.
Mm-hmm. At the crossroads.
At the crossroads.
Crossroads demon.
Showed up to the spot at midnight on that October night, and he was met by a very large barrel-chested black man.
Okay.
And when the man said to Johnson, "You're late, Robert Johnson."
Oh, shit.
Johnson replied, "Well, maybe not."
What?
Okay. So maybe I'm not, sucker.
He played a song on the guitar, then he handed it to the devil. The devil tuned the guitar, played a couple of songs, and handed it back to Johnson. He told Johnson to play, and Johnson played like he had never played before. It's rumored that Johnson told the devil that he would sign a contract with him. But the devil replied that he didn't need a contract because now he held Robert Johnson's heart in his hands and he would have it until the day Robert Johnson died.
Wait, the guitar was his heart?
No, his heart.
His actual
heart.
He gave over control because he handed him the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
And he had that desire in his heart to be the best.
Yes.
So the devil's like, "I can take care of that for you.
I can fix it."
That's some tricky shit.
It's the devil, dude. What do you think's going to happen? He's going to be all above board, like with lawyers and shit.
Yeah, don't worry. Just sign here on the dotted line. And
nowadays, you know, yes. I can totally see that happening.
We'll take payments for your soul. Don't worry about it.
Maybe in the 80s it would slide, but not nowadays.
It's just Jeff Bezos.
With his fucking cowboy hat on.
He sends you a DocuSign by text.
Oh my gosh.
Fuck. Okay. Taking his flying penis to the fucking moon.
Oh, God. So Johnson married Coletta Kraft in May of 1931, but he couldn't settle down. He went on the road chasing the blues. Coletta died in 1933. And by then, Johnson was long gone. Johnson would have several long-term relationships with several women, but none of them would last. And for all of the relationships that he had, he would only father one son, Claude, who would be the heir to the estate that was worth millions, but that wouldn't be settled until 2014 after a 60-year-long
holy battle. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
60 fucking years?
So blues musician Johnny Shines found Johnson playing for tips outside of a barbershop in Memphis. Shines accompanied Johnson through the rest of his career playing in St. Louis, New York, Chicago, and Texas.
Why is this guy following him?
Well, because they were playing together.
Okay.
So it was a collaboration.
Okay. It's not creepy.
It's not creepy. No. Okay.
He's not just like, hey, man.
No. And
I've been seeing every show.
I've been following every show. I've been following you to every barbershop.
Every
bar.
I've gotten so many haircuts.
So Johnny Shines was actually like, Robert Johnson was more of his mentor.
Okay.
He was 10 years younger than Johnson.
Okay.
So he was a kid at that point. Okay. So, you know, he kind of hooked up with Johnson and they mm-hmm. just sort of traveled together and they played together. And, mm-hmm. and Johnny Shines learned a ton from Johnson. So Johnny Shines was a prodigy of Robert Johnson. And being 10 years younger, he admired Johnson and he wanted to learn to play like Johnson. So he followed him as much as he could and learned as much as he could from him. Mm-hmm. Don Law found Johnson in 1936, and he encouraged him to go to Texas where he could record his music. And Johnson did go to Texas, and he recorded 29 songs in 5 days for Law.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's putting in work.
We can't even record one episode a month.
Do we make a deal with the devil?
We should.
Wait,
Whoa.
Unspoken shit we were talking about
no,
before.
No, but we just spoke it.
Let's not. Okay, then I guess.
It's over.
Yeah, you guys are fucked now.
I guess
now.
We're going to be. If we get real famous real fast, we're going to know why.
Man, I was going to hell anyway. If there is a hell, I'm going there.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
It's all good. So Johnson recorded 29 songs in 5 days for Law in Dallas and San Antonio. Okay. And this was a makeshift recording studio. It wasn't even a real recording studio.
What are you? I mean, that's rude. We're right here.
Oh, this. Wait.
This is a real recording studio.
Okay.
where Johnson was recording, it was a makeshift.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was not a real recording
studio. Sorry, I took offense to that. Sorry.
It's okay. You don't. You know. I understand, Eric. It's just you. So, of the 29 songs, 25 of them were chosen to be final cuts for records.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And these were released between 1937 and 1939. But some of these recordings are now lost to time. We'll never hear.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So after recording, Johnson went back to playing on the road, and he ended up back in Mississippi. And he was playing small gigs and working for tips again. So it wasn't unusual, but it wasn't...
So he was, like, good at the guitar, and he was good at his art form, but he wasn't necessarily like banking off of it.
Oh no. He never really.
Yeah.
No.
Probably much later.
Yeah. We'll get there. But okay. Yeah, he never really did much with it. Okay. So it wasn't unusual for Johnson to befriend women, though. He liked his women, and in every town that he played, the women would come and they would give him a place to stay.
Mm,
mm-hmm.
Hot.
Uh huh. Right. And they would keep him in liquor while he was. Johnson would befriend women in all of the towns that he went to. And they would give him a place to stay, and they would also give him whiskey. So whenever he would go back to those towns, a lot of times he would like hit the same women up and you know, do it all over
again. Oh, he had different hoes.
In different area codes. Area codes.
Okay. Copyright.
He did. He did, yeah. He had, yeah, exactly.
Alex, I've already told you we're a cover band, so we're good.
It's all parody.
So, because he loved the ladies and he loved his drink, and he was always, like, running around with any woman he could find, years later, when Sonny Boy Williamson would recount the story of the way Johnson died, it comes as no surprise.
Uh-oh.
So Johnson was playing a barn dance on a plantation outside of Greenwood, Mississippi. You going to say it? Go ahead, say it.
No, I just thought of a barn dance. And so far, his venues have been barbershops
mm-hmm.
and barns. So was it worth your soul, buddy? Was it worth it?
For sure.
Well to him it was.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he became... The thing was is that the devil promised him that he would be the king of the Delta Blues. They didn't make any negotiations for money.
Oh, shit. See, that's where you make a mistake.
You gotta read the contract.
You gotta read the contract. Uh-huh. Read the fine lines.
And because you did this kind of on a heart shake, because, you know, the devil just grabbed his heart, you couldn't really go back and review the fine print.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so
too little too late.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So he was playing a barn dance outside of Greenwood, Mississippi, and he had been playing in that area for about 3 weeks. He had gotten friendly with a married woman who came to watch him play.
Danger zone.
Oh, yeah. This is where true consequences come in. So her husband was apparently the jealous kind. And after telling Johnson to get lost several times, he decided to put mothballs in a bottle of whiskey.
Is that bad?
Oh, it's really bad. Just wait. I'm getting there.
Okay.
He gave the open full bottle to Johnson, and Johnson began to drink it. Well, Sonny Boy Williamson stepped in and tried to knock the bottle out of Johnson's hand and told him to never, ever accept a bottle that he didn't open himself.
And that's just the more you know.
The more you know. Dun, 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 dun.
So Johnson said to Williamson, never try to come between a man and his drink.
Ooh. So he had a problem.
He had a real drinking problem.
I feel like he had a few problems.
He had a lot of problems. And we'll get to that. I mean, yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of his problems.
Okay.
Okay, so Johnson reportedly drank that bottle dry. And then he accepted another from the woman who he'd been flirting with. So he accepted another poison bottle.
Oh, my God.
Poison twice.
And he drank that one dry, too. Okay?
Damn, that's putting down some shit, man.
In the words of George Bush.
Oh, God.
Fool me once.
Shame on me.
Shame
on you.
You. Fool me twice.
Fool me twice.
Can't be fooled again.
Can't be fooled again. And no wiser words were ever said.
Ever.
I think I even quoted those in the Cause of Death episode.
I mean, is it a show without a George Bush quote? George W.
Is it even a show?
Is it even a show at that point?
Right.
Step up your game.
So a few days later, Johnson became violently ill, and his stomach began to cramp up, and he was having trouble breathing. Well, the day after that, he began coughing up blood and foaming at the mouth.
Ooh.
His last words were allegedly, quote, ooh, I pray that my Redeemer will take me from my grave and forgive me for my pact with the devil.
Dude,
end quote.
Holy shit. I wish my last words are going to be that awesome. I know they won't be. It'll be like, what? That'll be it.
The fuck happened?
Alex's last words will be like, I just shit myself.
No. Well, I mean, probably. Potential. I mean, there's always a chance, right?
Robert Johnson died on August 16th, 1938, at 27 years old.
Fucking mothballs. Holy shit, the 27, right?
Okay, but first of all, we're recording this 2 days after the anniversary of his death.
That's true.
Yes.
Can we just say we're recording it on that day?
Oh, we're recording it on the 16th of August.
Perfect.
Creepy,
time.
Right?
Real fucking creepy.
Real creepy, because we didn't even plan that.
We didn't.
We didn't plan that. So,
did we plan that? We did not plan that.
We did not plan that. Uh-uh. No, it just... Eric said show up today, and I showed up today. And this was my story.
Are mothballs even a thing anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Can you still find them, shit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why are they deadly?
What are they made of?
Hold on.
Oh, we're going to cause of death now.
Okay. We're going to cause of death
now. Okay, let's slide over there.
So, naphthalene was a common method of poisoning in the Mississippi Delta.
What was it called?
Naphthalene. Yeah.
Is that a chemical?
Yes, it's what mothballs are made of.
Oh, okay.
And mothballs were so easy to come by at that time, but people rarely died of naphthalene.
Mothballs are just falling out of people's pockets.
Absolutely. And just everywhere. Everywhere.
They like go to count their money. They're like, hold on, let me get these mothballs out of the way first.
They were putting mothballs out with like Rumors, Fleetwood Mac
album. Oh, absolutely.
Everyone had it.
Now here you go again. You say you want your freedom.
Oh, God, I want some cranberry juice. It's fucking weird.
But who am I to let you down?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
It's a parody. So,
people rarely died of naphthalene poisoning.
Okay.
But Johnson was an exception. He had several contributing health factors that would kind of help him along. One of them was that he had ulcers and esophageal varices that had been diagnosed long before he died. So he was a heavy drinker. That's how you get that stuff, mm-hmm. right? So then he also possibly had Marfan syndrome.
What is that?
Marfan syndrome is a I'm so glad you asked.
I feel like she knows.
Marfan syndrome is a genetic disorder that's earmarked by unusually long fingers and arms and maladies of the eye.
What do you mean? Like
he had like a cloud. One eye was clouded over.
Ooh, cool.
Okay. It's also said that
so looked like an alien.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. It's said that Abraham Lincoln also had Marfan syndrome. So if you
that
think
fucker
of
was an alien.
Yeah, if you think of Abraham Lincoln.
Alien.
Alien. That's it. Yeah.
And vampire killer, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
I love how Jackie's just like, I'm good. Yeah. Whatever they say, whatever I'm going with it.
I'm just
going
to go with it. Fine. Whatever you guys want. It's good.
She's giving up everybody.
It's all his fault. It's his fault.
So, but Marfans could also cause aortic dissection.
So that's something with your heart?
That's when your heart dissects itself?
No. The
separates itself from
aortic
the
artery.
Okay.
In the neck that mm-hmm. goes to the heart. Mm. Will just rip open. Yeah.
Rip open?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound very pleasant.
I think I have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, I know you might have that. We'll take you to the ER in a minute. Let me finish the story.
For years.
But that has nothing to do with mothballs.
This was his pre-existing condition.
This was his,
was his insurance disqualification.
I mean, I totally haven't been poisoning. Okay.
So we also have to take into account that whiskey was not near as clean then as it was now. And especially when you talk about black people acquiring whiskey. I mean, white people, yeah, they could go and they could buy the good stuff. Black people were not allowed.
Was this during Prohibition?
This would have been like 1938. He died in 38, but it was after Prohibition.
But we're talking like toilet whiskey at this
point.
Yeah,
I was going to say, a lot of the moonshine down in the South mm-hmm. was made with whatever they could find. Anything. Yeah.
Well, what they were doing was they were taking down pure alcohol, mm-hmm. and that's how they were making whiskey. Ooh. And then distilling it with corn.
Which could be deadly.
Yes, and that is called methanol poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you distill whiskey for that like that, you'll pull the methanol off, and that's called swill. Oftentimes they would get stuck drinking the swill. Yeah.
The good stuff.
The good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it fucks you up proper.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is that what they drink in what was that show?
Belen? Oh, what? Ricky.
Probably. I think they did.
Shout out to Belen.
We love you, Belen. That's how naphthalene poisoning would poison him. That's how he would die of it.
So he died because he had all these other contributing factors that were already working against him?
Possibly.
Okay.
Also he drank two bottles of swill with naphthalene in it. So yeah, all these things in combination would probably take him down.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably be why it took so long.
So you don't think the devil did it?
Well, of course.
He gave him heartburn?
the aortic dissection.
That's right. Yeah. It's kind of like heartburn, right?
It's kind of like
Eric has it.
Yeah.
Ulcers. For sure. Yeah.
Another poison that was mentioned in the stories was strychnine.
Mm.
Rat poison.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Musicologist Robert McCormick claimed to have tracked down the man who murdered Johnson years after. And McCormick claimed to get a confession out of him. He later recounted that the man had said that he had used strychnine poisoning to poison Johnson. And McCormick never revealed the man's name. So the difference in poisons is really important. Naphthalene will rarely kill people, but strychnine kills fairly quickly. It kills within a few hours.
So it doesn't seem likely that that would be the poison.
No.
That was used.
No. Especially with all of these contributing factors, right?
It should have been faster than a few days.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, so Johnson was around for days after the poisoning. So that's why I kind of think it's more the naphthalene than it is the strychnine.
Did they do an autopsy back then? How am I getting a fucking ahead of myself?
By a whole paragraph.
Okay.
Yeah, just by a whole paragraph. So no, there was no formal autopsy done on the body after Johnson died. He was taken to the coroner's office and then just immediately buried in a potter's field. So Johnson died penniless and unknown at that point. Years later, a note was found written on the back of his death certificate. And for everyone who's listening, this is what the death certificate said. This has nothing to do with me. It said that the coroner had talked with a Negro woman who had attended the dance, and that he had also talked with the white plantation owner.
Good Lord. Okay.
It was the plantation owner's opinion that Johnson died of syphilis.
Well, good thing the plantation owner gave his opinion on that.
Isn't it, though? The plantation owner also stated that he didn't call a doctor for Johnson because Johnson didn't work on the plantation. So he didn't feel it was his responsibility to pay for Johnson's medical care.
Okay.
Go ahead and say it.
I don't have any words.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
What year was this?
This was 1938.
Where?
Mississippi. No, I know I shouldn't be surprised.
I'm not surprised.
But I don't have to like it.
No, yeah, absolutely. Of course not. But yeah. I mean,
we're from the Southwest. We're used to a lot of diversity and a lot of different people and a lot of different colors and a lot of different.
But Mississippi in the 1930s and 40s and 50s and 60s.
Mississippi today.
Mississippi it's fine. Now.
It's 70s yeah. and 80s.
But the thing
and
90s. Is, for me, like, I'm a very empathetic person, and so when somebody is murdered or is very sick, like I just have a hard time being okay with that part of the story.
The reason this story is kind of like something that I really looked into was exactly because of that.
Yeah, it's exactly. Fucked up.
It's fucked up. You know, even when we go back to, like, Johnson's upbringing, he was lucky he got to go to school.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to know if his life would have been saved by any effort to call medical help, but the chance was there that he could have been saved.
Well, and you know, even just, they didn't do an autopsy because he was a poor black man who died.
It wasn't worth it.
It wasn't worth it. They wouldn't pay for that. Yeah. I mean, it's just an awful, awful thing. The final resting place of Robert Johnson is unknown today, but there are three grave markers in three cemeteries around the Greenwood area. Today, there are markers on all three stating that these are possible locations of the final resting place of the King of the Delta Blues. A few months after his death, John Hammond went looking for Johnson. He wanted him to play Carnegie Hall, and he hadn't realized that Johnson had died.
I just missed it. Ain't that the fucking story, right?
Oh, wait. In 1941, musicologist Alan Lomax went to Mississippi to see if he could record Johnson's work.
Wait, that's a thing? Musicologist?
A musicologist.
What does that do?
They actually study music history and things like that.
Oh my God,
a lot of Johnson's has been put together by musicologists because they didn't really know a lot about his life. I mean, none of it was really recorded. There was nothing you know, from 1911 to 1938.
Yeah, and plus they were recording it in makeshift studios.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah.
How did they even record it on 4-track? Or was 4-track even a
thing?
No,
it wasn't
then?
A thing. It was 78s. It was okay. 78 RPMs. So, yeah, the big, lassy, heavy.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so... yeah, so he had gone to record Johnson and found out that he had died 3 years earlier. An anthology of his work was released by Columbia Records in 1961, and that's when Johnson finally gained notoriety. That's when he became the king of the Delta Blues. Of the 25 recordings and outtakes that Johnson had recorded back in 1935, all of them were originals, and six of those told of dealings with the devil. The one that became best known was Crossroads Blues. Several bands covered that song, and all of them suffered the consequences for telling the story of how Johnson met up with the devil on that October night in 1930.
Are you about to get us killed, Jackie?
Yes.
God damn it. Just,
wait, what?
Just go with it.
No.
This became known as the Crossroads Curse.
God damn it, Jackie.
Well, you asked me to do the thing, so I'm doing the thing. You said do it.
Wait now. Wait. Does that mean all of our listeners are also cursed now?
No.
All three of them.
Yeah. Hey, we have four or five.
We have tens of listeners.
Tens of listeners.
Right. Oh, yeah. I forgot you.
How dare you?
Shout out to you listeners.
How dare you, Jackie?
Hi, all listeners of Dospicators. So, Eric Clapton and Cream recorded Crossroads Blues for their 1968 album, Wheels of Fire. Shortly after the recording of Wheels of Fire, the band broke up, and Eric Clapton found himself in the throes of heroin addiction. And he would remain addicted to heroin for several years. By 1970, Clapton had started his solo career. And a few years later, he kicked heroin and he began to put his life back together. On March 20th, 1991, Eric Clapton's 4-year-old son, Connor, fell from the balcony of an apartment building in New York City. Eric Clapton suffered a nervous breakdown and didn't perform for several years after that. The Allman Brothers added their cover version of Crossroads Blues to their live shows in the early 70s. Dwayne Allman died in a motorcycle accident on October 29th, 1971.
This is stressing me out.
Dwayne Allman died in a motorcycle accident on October 29th, 1971. He died at a crossroads outside of Macon, Georgia.
Stop it.
There's more.
Stop it.
On November 11th, 1972, Allman Brothers bassist Barry Oakley died less than a mile from the same crossroads that Dwayne Allman had died at a year earlier, and he had also died in a motorcycle accident.
If I fucking die at a crossroads, Jackie, I am coming back to haunt you.
Hey, somebody put a traffic light there. Sounds like just bad planning.
I'm kind of thinking by now there is like a, you know, red, green.
And I hope so.
So,
I'm going to haunt you still.
It's okay. I've been haunted before.
Okay,
come on.
Right.
Yeah, bring it.
He's different, though.
I'm just going to play Madonna real loud the whole time.
Okay. That's going to get annoying. The Allman Brothers stopped playing Crossroads Blues shortly after the death of Dwayne and Barry.
Is this where we cue the song? So that everyone gets to hear it.
Is this like The Ring where you watch the tape
yeah,
and then
that's
you
what
die?
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
You play could, the song but maybe you want to play Melissa instead. Because it said that Greg Allman wrote Melissa to reverse the curse.
Great segue.
The song refers to a crossroads. Quote, crossroads, will you ever let him go? Or will you hide a dead man's ghost? End quote.
Cool song.
Oh, but wait. We got more. In 1975, Lynyrd Skynyrd added a live cover of Crossroads Blues to their concerts. poor Eric's going to have a nervous breakdown in about 5 seconds here. Oh.
See, and I don't care. I don't believe in shit, so.
This is fucking terrifying. Like, I didn't expect this to be as terrifying.
He's putting his hands over his eyes.
He's like really freaking.
This is like Skinwalkers. Like, I have the same feeling that I had for Skinwalkers. I'm fucking terrified right now. Go ahead. It's okay. Fine. No.
You good?
It's fine. No, I'm
Are
not.
You good?
I'm not. No. But go ahead.
Okay.
Someone hold him.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Okay, so in 1975, Lynyrd Skynyrd added a live cover of Crossroads Blues to their concerts. At that point...
Did anything happen to them?
Well, hold on, we're getting there.
Did Metallica also do that? And like...
Okay.
Every other... Okay. Did okay. David Bowie finally play that
So too? They recorded so it.
And it was at the height of their career. Well, they didn't record it. They were just playing it...
On tour.
On tour, okay. Yeah.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Funsies.
So they had chartered a Convair CV-240 so that they could get between gigs faster. On October 22nd, 1977, while en route from Greenville, South Carolina to Baton Rouge, Louisiana... The plane ran out of fuel and crashed near Gillsburg, Mississippi.
Because you sang the fucking curse song, you stupid assholes.
Oh, in Mississippi.
Oh, uh-huh. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. 26 people were on board. Lead singer Ronnie Van Zant, guitarist Steve Gaines, vocalist Cassie Gaines, assistant road manager Dean Kilpatrick, the pilot Walter McCreary, and the co-pilot, William Gray, all died in the crash. Mm. 20 others survived, but the band would never regain notoriety.
Oh my God, I hate this story so much.
It's almost over. We're almost done.
Okay.
We have a little more to go. So Led Zeppelin would often perform Robert Johnson's songs.
Fuck.
At concerts.
Not the greatest rock and roll band ever.
Oh, yeah. They began including a version of Crossroad Blues in the mid-70s. On July 26, 1977, Robert Plant's son, Kerouac, died of septic shock at 5 years old. Shortly after that, Plant experienced a nervous breakdown, and he was unable to continue performing for several years. On September 25th, 1980, Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham was found dead in his bed after drinking 40 vodka shots.
40?
40.
Fuck.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Who was there to count them, and why didn't they get help?
Well, let's just say it was a really wild, wild party. There was a lot going on that night. Kurt Cobain also performed a live version of Crossroads Blues at his concerts toward the end of his life.
And then Courtney Love killed him.
Well, yeah, maybe. So Cobain was at the height of his career when he was found dead of a gunshot wound in his garage on April 5th, 1994. To this day, very few musicians will cover Crossroads Blues.
Weird.
Yeah, go figure, right?
Duh.
Yeah, I mean, even like these little jams I go to, somebody will say, play Crossroads, no. And we're like, no.
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 That's when you need to start shouting out at like terrible shows that you see.
Yeah, play Crossroads, play.
You find yourself at Nickelback?
Then you're helping society out.
Well, no, you know what? They get a hard time.
And they deserve it.
And they absolutely fucking deserve it.
Carry on, Jackie.
That's it. That's the story. What did you guys think?
I am fucking terrified. I'm terrified right now for my life because I'm convinced that now that we've talked about this, we're going to be cursed.
Well, as long as we don't play the song.
Curse since birth, man.
That's a shirt. It's the skinwalker feeling again. Like, should we be talking about this? Should we be?
You know, here's the thing. This is how I look at it, right? Most of those people that were living that rock and roll lifestyle were making a lot of bad choices, mm-hmm. and they were choosing to do a lot of things that they probably shouldn't have been if they wanted to prolong their life.
Well, I mean,
other than the mothball poisoning and shit.
And Dwayne yeah. Allman, who was just riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, but shit happens.
And Leonard Skinner, who was just like, on yeah, a plane going between gigs.
Shit happens. I mean, Buddy Holly died, right? In the
yeah,
plane crash.
Yeah. But what about the kids? The kids that were in
there. Well, unfortunately, fucking life happens. And so does
correlation death. Does fucking equal causation.
Yeah. Do you really think it was due to a song? How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all,
I mean, what happens if you just listen to it?
I do believe that, like, some of these curse type things can be real.
Okay.
And maybe some of it is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, you're creating that kind of energy around yourself because you're thinking that.
Right. Ooh, this is going to tie into my next episode okay. really well.
Okay. Because I do think the mind is a powerful thing. And I do think if you, like, for me,
you put it out in the universe,
it's going to come back to you.
It's going to come back to you. I feel you. Yeah.
I mean,
I love that story. I love the story of the crossroads. I didn't know so much detail about it. You know, I didn't know he was poisoned. I didn't know, you know, that he was such a tramp.
This was a good fucking episode. This was up there.
It's
going to
be
an
editing nightmare.
It is, but I think in terms of like fucking freak out factor, like it is up there.
And it's an awesome story, man. And
it's
a good story.
It lends with the blues like really well, mm-hmm. right?
I'm going to put some blues music in the background, like
spooky blues.
Spooky blues, yeah.
Blues.
Mm-hmm. What was the one we did?
La Mala Hora.
Yeah, because that's.
I have a story about
similar.
That too.
You do?
I do. A personal story.
Send it to us.
I will. Okay. I think I did, but I'll send it again.
Send it again because we don't check our email.
Because you don't check your email. I'll send it to your email.
DM us.
350 emails, guys. If you were one of those that wrote it to us, we'll get there.
Or DM us. Yeah, DM us.
It's easier. We always tell you guys to slide into our DMs, and it's not just because of Eric's a pervert. It's because we want to hear your stories.
It takes a pervert to be friends with a pervert. So.
Well, fuck.
But where does that leave me?
You need to do some soul searching, Jackie.
Where does that leave you?
Maybe I'll go to church or something.
You might want to get a cleanse done or something.
I'll start calling my ancestors.
Get some sage. It'll be fine.
Dude, we're totally non-malevolent.
No.
We are harmless.
Most of the
creeps.
Time.
You
Most
are.
Of the time.
I mean, no, I am.
We're harmless creeps.
Yeah,
you're just a creep, buddy.
You are too, bitch.
Thank you for listening to our shit show.
I mean, I don't know why you keep coming back.
We appreciate you here.
We do.
Thank you so much for having me on your shit show.
Thanks for
it's been
being
a
here.
Lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
You did a really good job. And
thank you.
You saved us from having to work, so we love you.
There you go. Oh, well, I love you guys too. You know that I'm like your greatest fan, right?
Well, I'm your biggest fan too.
Oh, thank you. So. And Alex, you just don't say anything.
No, did I fuck it up? No. What you're getting ready to say?
No, you're good. You're good.
This part's not scripted, so we're good.
I'm very preemptive with ideas and thoughts when I hear things like that. My mind already goes into like, oh,
yeah.
I can't help it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the script was kind of written around that because I know how you guys roll.
Mm-hmm.
So. It was written so that I could answer the question.
It was fucking booby-trapped.
It was all fucking booby-trapped. You know it.
We need to shout out patrons.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we need to say thank you to Paul Nixon, who just joined as a patron, and Amber Marie, who just upped her monthly contribution.
Shout out!
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. You are helping us to afford some really cool equipment. I've got this sexy little interface that I just bought today, so thank you helping to pay for the studio and all the other stuff that we have to pay for, so we appreciate it.
Shout out to Cause of Death
and Lucky Charms, Miss Jackie Moranti, killing it in the podcast world.
Thank you so much, guys.
Cool. All right, and with that,
stay spooky.
Peace.